A scientist and a preacher were debating about what was the toughest thing to believe. And the scientist, of course, believing in evolution and all of the Big Bang type theories, was saying, "The hardest thing for me to believe is what the Bible claims about God making the world and about His creating the world and about the time." And he said, "I believe that's the hardest thing, don't you?" And the preacher said, "No, I really don't." He said, "The hardest thing for me to believe is John 3:16. And I want you to turn there, an oft-neglected verse of Scripture, and yet one that needs to be looked at and thought about and given thanks for over and over again. The title of the message today is A Christmas Card from Heaven. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Most of us are very familiar with this verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," and I love that word, "whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a beautiful verse, isn't it? Many times we seem to think it's for little children only in the elementary school age classrooms, but it's for us today. It's God's message to us. And it's hard, as the preacher was saying, it's hard for me to understand, and probably for all of us when we think about it, how God could love us so much, sinners, on our way to hell, lost, so much that He loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. Not one of His sons, but His only begotten Son. We get a lot of Christmas cards during Christmas, and we always enjoy that. Christmas cards didn't come around until about 1840 over in England. And the Christmas cards that were being mailed back and forth and given out were really secular. They were more about alcohol and parties and drinking and that kind of thing. Of course, they're still available today to be purchased and to be sent out. But the Christians didn't like that, and so the Christians said, "We can't let them mess up our holiday like that because it's a Christian holiday." So the Christians said, "We're going to start sending cards." And that's how the Christmas card exchange began among Christians. It was really to sort of fly back in the face of those who were making it a godless, pagan, secular holiday without remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christmas cards were beginning to be sent, and they are sent today to the tune of over $1 billion a year during the Christmas season. That's pretty good, isn't it? Not only $1 billion that is spent more than that on Christmas cards, but think of all the postage that is spent in order to send those Christmas cards. Now, we wised up here at the church, and we quit mailing them each other through the post office, but we have our own post office here, and our young people man that and help us with that, and it works really good. And you can go by and look under your name, the alphabet, and pick up your cards, and that's a good thing to do. And we get a lot of cards, and we do enjoy those. We like them. Carolyn and I read the little notes, and we read a lot of the little poems and all that are on those cards. It takes us a while, but sometimes after church or when we get home, we get some through the mail. After the evening meal, we'll sit down and read through those. And we enjoy those, and they're a blessing to us because they have a great, great message many times, and sometimes a little message of encouragement. And that's a blessing to us. Anybody here? I see some former pastors that are here and missionaries and others. And you know, when you get those little cards, it means a lot to you, doesn't it? But here's the best one right here, John 3:16. This has the best verbiage of any of them altogether. It has the greatest source for God. God is the greatest source, amen? For God so loved, and that's the greatest fact. God loved so much. The eternal, almighty, holy, perfect Creator loves so much. The greatest love, the greatest fact, the greatest source, the greatest object For God so loved the world. I'm glad He loves the whole world. Salvation is not just a white man's religion. Amen. God, Christ, loved the whole world, all over the world. Red, yellow, black, or white, I promise you, they are all precious in the sight of Almighty God. God loves everybody. And He loves the whole world, and He wants the whole world to be saved. That's why we believe in missions so strongly. It's the act, the greatest act of love. He loves so much. A lot of times people say, well, I love you, but they do nothing to back it up. There are some wives who have husbands like that and vice versa. And that's not the best thing, is it? The best thing is to back it up, and God did. God not only said, I love the world, but the greatest act of love He gave. God gives. Love always gives. This is the greatest. God gave, and the greatest message is that whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. You won't have a greater message than that. I have good news to give to people. Jesus saves. I have good news to share with people, and that is that if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, friend, you don't have to go to hell. If you'll believe that Jesus died for you and paid your sin debt, and repent and turn to Him, you can be gloriously saved. Thank God for the message, whosoever. I'm glad it's for anybody. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist, and I don't fellowship much with hyper-Calvinists. Those who would say that it's for only an elected few, and only a few are going to be saved, and the rest are going to go to hell, and it was doomed and settled before the foundation of the world. I don't read that in my Bible. Whosoever will. Now, it's true, some won't. God knew that before the foundation of the world, but His foreknowledge was not causative. The foreknowledge of God is just the foreknowledge of God, but we have free will and choice and volition. And He says, whosoever believeth, and the greatest fruit should not perish. Thank God we don't have to perish. And by the way, the word perish there is not talking about annihilation. I'm not talking about being burned up like some of the cults tell you. The word perish means that we won't have to go to hell. We won't have to have a wasted eternity, a perishing eternity, because of God's great love letter to us and God's great Christmas card from heaven. The greatest of all, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one interesting thing is that the Lord Himself delivered this great love letter. The Lord Himself delivered it. Every once in a while, I see my postman. And sometimes there's a lady driving the little car. I'm usually not there when the mail is delivered because it's sometime around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But occasionally I might be there and perhaps on my day off. And I would see the postman. But you know, I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest postman that delivered it, but I'm going to see Him someday. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen, you love. I've never seen Him, but you know what? I love Him. I love the Lord Jesus Christ today. Don't you say amen if you love Him? I love Him. I've never seen Him. I've talked to a few people that said they had seen Him, and I knew that they had too much lasagna and spaghetti the night before. I've talked to some who had visions, and others who had visions, they said, and they painted or did drawings of Jesus, and they were sure this is exactly what He looked like. The only thing is, all three of them have different kinds of paintings. No, we've never seen Him. We've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but someday I'm going to see Him. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because someday we're going to see Him. He's the postman. He delivered the goods. And we needed the goods. We needed this letter. We needed this card from heaven. Because there was a dilemma years ago found in the book of Genesis. And that dilemma was that Adam and Eve transgressed. They sinned. They messed everything up for us. They did not obey the Lord. And because of that, we were all cast into sin. We are all sinners. Friend, no matter how good you are today, you're a sinner. You say, well, you don't even know me. Well, I can tell you, you're a sinner. No matter how good you may think you are, you're still a sinner. And the reason I know that is because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. And it goes back to Adam and Eve. They transgressed, messed everything up. But thank God Jesus had a plan. And in Genesis 3:15, the Bible says, and this is a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Between thee and a woman, thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Thank God, even though there was a fall, immediately there was hope. Because this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The serpent is symbolic of the devil. And the snake was what the devil used to channel through the snake to speak to Adam and Eve. And they transgressed. But God said immediately, here's the story. One of these days, he is going to crush the head of a serpent. Now, if you're going to kill a snake, you don't try to hit him on the tail. If I'm going to kill a snake, and I have killed a few, all you animal rights people, you don't bother me one whit. If I see a snake, I'm going to whop it in the head. Amen? But that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to hit it on the head. I'm not going to try to hit it on the tail or in the middle. They'll just keep going. And that's what he's saying. The snake's head's going to be crushed. Amen. That happened at Calvary. Now his heel was bruised, but he wasn't ruined for all of eternity. That's talking about Jesus and the pain. But thank God he arose. Amen. He didn't stay in the grave, so he just bruised him a little bit. But in the process, he crushed his head. Amen. I like the fact that the devil is defeated, and the false prophet and all the rest of them in the book of Revelation are going to be cast into the lake of fire someday. The devil and all of that gang, they're going to finally, ultimately be in hell forever. Never be able to bother us anymore. Thank God for the blessed hope he gives us right away. Look in verses 14 and 15. It almost seems strange that this is in the same context of John 3, but it is. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent, the snake, in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Right in the same context, look at what he's talking about. He's talking about redemption, salvation. He's talking about that. And you can go back, and we don't have time to do it now, but Numbers 21, and read beginning with verse 5, and read the story there of what took place and why it took place. And there were all of these rebellious people, and all of these snakes were there, these fiery serpents, and they bit them. They were everywhere, and they bit them, and they had the bite of the serpent, and they were going to die. But Moses intervened on behalf of these people to God, which is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. And he said, "Here's what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to lift up on a pole a brazen serpent." Why brass? Because brass is always symbolic of judgment. But why a snake? Why raise up a snake? Because he who knew no sin became sin for us. And the serpent is typical of the evil and the wickedness of the devil himself. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God. No wonder the symbolism is so powerful and so strong. And Christ is the one who delivered this card. Not only that, this card was written in blood. Anything that was written in blood. Now, our staff party, and we had it the other night, and I give them a Christmas card, and the church gives them a little gift for Christmas, a little bonus, very little, a little bonus, and I write it. I like to write it in red. What I say, with a red marker, with a red pen, not because we're going into red, but I just like to do it as a reminder of the reason Jesus came in the first place. You see, sometimes we leave him in the crib. We leave him as a baby. We've got to remember that he existed before that, and that he came to die and shed his blood for our sins. And so I like to use that red ink in doing that. In Hebrews 9:22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with" what? Blood. With blood. And listen to it, "And without the shedding of blood is no remission." I know. I fully understand that the intelligentsia, the elite, if theologians and philosophers today say it's a bloody religion that you're preaching. And we don't really have anything to do with that bloody religion. We're taking the blood out of our songbooks. We're taking the blood out of our messages. We're taking the blood out of our Sunday school curriculum. Well, bless God, that'll never happen around here as long as I'm pastor. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There's no remission of sin. That simply says, friend, you can't earn your salvation any other way. You cannot earn it at all. It has to come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad because Jesus shed His blood, we're more than conquerors in Him. And someday we're going to share in His kingdom. Isaiah 9:6, listen to it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Did you see all that He was saying in there about Jesus, all in one verse? You know, we lived in Virginia for 10 years. And many times when you're driving in those mountains, you look over there and you're on a highway and you see mountains. They look like they're side by side. And you think, how in the world will we ever get over those mountains? And you just keep on driving because the map says that's the way to go. And you're on the right highway and you drive on and on and on. And the closer you get, the finally you realize they're not really side by side. There's some distance between them and the road runs right between them. And many times in one verse, it looks like it's all together. But God is telling us some wonderful things all in one verse. First of all, He says a child is born. That was the Lord Jesus Christ as He came. That was prophesied. That's good news. A child was born. Unto us a son is given. It was God's capital S son who was given. That's good news. Thank God for that. But look at the rest of it. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. That's going to happen someday, ladies and gentlemen. The son, the little child that was given, the one that was born, is going to come back and rule and reign on the earth, and He'll be in control of everything there is. He will be governor of all of it. Why? All because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. That's why He's going to come back. That's why He's able to come back and why He is the Savior. So it was written in blood. It was delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about the message? What is the message of the card? Again, when I went the other day to pick out a card, to pick out some cards to give to the staff, I wanted a good message on that card. And I wanted the King James Version. That's my preferred version. And I believe it's done well for many years. And I still preach from it and teach from it. And that's our textbook that we use in this church. Amen? And so I was looking for King James. And I was in a hurry. And I said, Lord, help me find something pretty quickly, if You would. And I walked up to the shelf. And all of a sudden, I pick up some. And they look pretty good. And they're KJV. And they have a good message on them. And so I purchased those real quick and got out of there. But here, look at the message of this one, John 3:16. You couldn't have a better message. You couldn't have better wording than this. And it is so clear. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is very, very clear. And He talks about only a couple of things right here that we need to recognize as far as the end result and the message, what He's talking about. Number one, you can choose to perish and go to hell, or you can choose everlasting life and go to heaven. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have eternal life or everlasting life. And again, we must remember that perish means that we die and we're separated from God forever and ever with no end, no way to come out. We go to hell. We're there suffering. We don't get out of hell. Listen to me, my friend. Hell is real. God's not kidding when He talks about hell in the Bible. And everybody who does not get saved, who does not receive this card, this gift, will die and go to hell. Suffer forever and forever. So God says, I give you a choice through my son. You can perish or you can go to heaven. You can have eternal life, everlasting life. You can go with me forever and ever in bliss and be there forever. Or you can die and go to hell. What choice? I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Amen? And it's a no-brainer the sooner you can get it settled. Why would anybody want to gamble? Why would anybody want to gamble on dying and going to hell? My friend, if I was here today and I was unsaved, I was lost, I didn't know, I didn't have that assurance, it wouldn't matter to me what anybody else thought. I'd settle that before I left here today. Why would you want to gamble on eternity? You have two choices, perish or go to heaven. Now, God gives those choices. There's no in-between. No in-between whatsoever. Don't let anybody or any religion or any denomination tell you there's an in-between place. There is no in-between. You either die and go to heaven or you die and perish and go to hell. That's it. Bottom line, final line. Everlasting life or perish. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Listen, this is God's heartbeat. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God doesn't want you to go to hell. He's not willing. You say, well, God sends people to hell. I don't like that. And God's cruel. No, God doesn't send anybody to hell. If people go to hell, they go because they choose to go to hell. God's done everything there is to keep you from dying and going to hell. And I like that word, whosoever. I thank God that I know that He loves us. By the way, He's coming back someday to set up His kingdom. And we sometimes forget that we still have a responsibility after we get saved, because your position in the kingdom is going to be determined by how well you live the Christian life, how much you serve God, how much of your time and talent and treasure you give to Him, how holy your life is before God, all of that and your commitment and dedication. And sometimes we don't grow in the Lord like we should. We don't get committed to God's work. We're just sort of halfway involved in it. Friend, you're not going to have the same position in the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, as those who are paying the price, who are living the life, who are doing what God tells us to do. You don't earn your salvation, but you better live right and serve God, because that determines your position in the millennial kingdom. It's going to be real, and He's going to be the governor over it. But thank God, Christ delivered the card. It was written in His precious blood. We're not redeemed by anything but His precious blood. Not gold, not silver, but the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the redeeming price. I can tell you today, He loves us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Every head is bowed a moment. God's Christmas card to us tells us that He loves us, that you need to be redeemed. There is a heaven, there is a hell. We know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, you've got to believe Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. What do you want, my friend? I would think you certainly would want everlasting life and wouldn't want to put it off. And on the very first note or the very first verse of this song, no matter what anybody would think, I believe I'd go to the aisle and come forward and say, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I accept the Christmas card from heaven. I accept that which was written in the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. I want to trust Him as my Savior today. I rather suspect, as we think about Calvary and the shed blood, that we should be motivated to live right. And knowing that He's coming again, going to reign, that we'll want to be ready at any moment to meet the Lord Jesus, and that we'll look forward to having lived the kind of life that will give us a great position in the millennial kingdom of Christ. Father, thank You for the Bible. Thank You for the Word. Thank You for this beautiful, beautiful John chapter 3 and verse 16. Thank You for loving us with such a great love, and that it's Your love, comes from You. thank you, dear God, that anybody that's here today can be saved. And I pray that you'd speak to their hearts. And I pray they would come. I pray they would receive Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Speak to those that are believers. Help us to go back to the cross. Help us to remember the shed blood, the great gift you gave that we might have life and have life more abundantly, to be victorious over sin, to live a life committed to you because of your love and the shed blood of Jesus. Now speak to our hearts and help us to do what we'll be glad we did when we stand in the very presence of your Son and our Savior, Jesus, in whose name we pray.